This is Steve Sherlock with another internet radio show, or podcast, number 155 in the series for Franklin Matters. This recording shares the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting held before the town council meeting on Wednesday, December 12, 2018. The discussion covered the two scheduled agenda items. The first up heard additional research on whether to modify the existing brewery-distillery bylaw to remove the kitchen requirement. Do tap rooms, tasting rooms really need to have a kitchen? You can listen to the full discussion as it developed. Ultimately, the motion moved to the town council by a 4-0 vote to remove kitchens from the tasting bylaw. The second item was a discussion on the proposed mixed business innovation zoning district to help control and enable appropriate reuse of the Clark Cutler McDermott property. After discussion on various aspects of the pros, cons, and what was really being attempted, this motion also moved to the town council by a 3-1 vote, with Kelly, the chair of the subcommittee, voting no. The official meeting minutes are also included in the show notes that accompany this podcast. The total meeting recording runs just about 58 minutes, so without further ado, here's the audio recording.
Call the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting to order. Just want a quick announcement. This meeting may be recorded by video or audio, and always remember that, this meeting is of the Franklin Town Council Subcommittee under the open meeting law. The subcommittee is a separate public body from the town council. Therefore, unless the town council has separately noticed or posted its own meeting, councilors who are not members of the subcommittee will not be permitted to speak or otherwise actively participate at this meeting, although they may attend and observe. After with everything else. All right, let's move right along. Like a board at the end. Everybody gets it. You want to start, Jamie?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, per your request in the EDCs from the last meeting on the brewery, winery, distillery bylaw, if folks recall, the main issue is whether or not to exempt these, what under state statute would be called farmer series licenses. Mm-hmm. Basically exempt them from the food requirement that's a town bylaw. So per your request, and I think some of the other members, Chrissy did a great job. She just handed out a list. We did your request of going to the state of Oregon and Washington and Colorado and a few states out west to see if they had food requirements. And then we also went and looked at 8 towns with breweries that were probably closest to Franklin, at least, to see if they had mandatory food requirements for the breweries in their communities. And those 8 communities did not have a food requirement. And I've listed the name of the brewery over on the right. Some of those may be familiar to some folks. And also the 3 states that you'd asked us to look at also did not have a food requirement. So that's really all I got. Really up for discussion with the EDC, whether they want to move forward with something like this.
Brian, anything to add?
Nothing.
Mel, go for it.
I just was wondering, does that no food requirement, does that mean like not even, they don't even have to have snacks, or what is the food requirement there? Like, are we talking about the kitchen that we were,
it's really about the kitchen.
So all these places are no kitchen.
All these places are no kitchens.
Okay.
Yep. Now there's like, in the case of Jack's Abbey, after they were open for 10 or 15 years, right, they
then
added
got
the kitchen.
Right, that's mm-hmm. the goal.
But there was no requirement for, right, that's a successful business.
Right, right.
But the town of Framingham did not mandate that, mm-hmm. At the outset. In Hopkinton's case, Startline is also in Waterfresh Farm, but they, again, don't require them to have the kitchen, but they happen to be next door to a business that sells food, so they the food can be brought into that brewery and they can do that type of thing. So I think most of these have a similar idea to what folks have at least proposed in Franklin, which is, if there was one, there was an article in the Business Journal the other day, some folks looking at a site in downtown, you'd allow the sub shop and, the Japanese restaurant, some of the other food vendors, the tacos and the burritos would be brought in to be eating with the BYOF, bring your own,
that's what
we're calling
it,
thanks,
BYOF.
BYOF.
John, something to add?
No, he summarized it pretty well at the end. I'm all for not allowing the kitchens. It is a tremendous burden for this size commercial business. But I do agree with the BYOF. I do think that at least food needs to be, they at least need to have the capacity to have food available.
Okay.
And if it's from local victuallers around the neighborhood or from stores around the neighborhood, I don't have a problem with that. I do think they may have issue with people making their own food and bringing food in there on site. So in other words, no grilling, no
right.
none of that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Because then you're talking about water health
Absolutely.
Issues.
Absolutely.
Whereas the foods purchased through the other vendors would have already been met through water health.
Yeah, you can't just go have a big cookout.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be fun, but you can't go.
Well, maybe you can bring your own sandwich or something, but you can't.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you buy a picnic and go to right. town.
Cheese and crackers, right?
Cheese and crackers.
Hey, want to go to BJ's and grab a big cheese and cracker plate? And bring it into the
No, I'd go down sure. somewhere else. down the shop, olive oils.
Quick point. I know the gentleman in the back in the blue coat, Olivier, I believe is, yep. He was a gentleman who actually came into the planning board recently, potentially filing. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to this, but discussion, but he was looking at putting a small brewery up on West Central Street.
Yes.
Do you have any feedback on this as someone who's kind of in the industry, but I know he's an aspiring brewer here in town. And when he came into Tech Review, we thought maybe we'd let him know about the meeting.
Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, so I think this answers a lot of questions that we had as far as like what the food requirement was, whether or not they needed someone to have a kitchen,
mm-hmm.
or if it was just having snacks or allowing people to purchase food from different vendors. I think the snack aspect is something that we could definitely do. That's something that Craft Root does. If you go up to the bar, you can definitely buy, you know, pita chips or crackers or, you know, peanuts or whatever. And if you go to Trillium in Canton, and I imagine they have probably do the same thing in Boston, they just started offering people hummus, those, you know, small little tubs of hummus that you can buy from, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Market Basket. They have that. So that is something that we'll definitely consider, but we just wanted to get some clarification, like what exactly constituted food. Was it located to have a standing kitchen where you could, you know, cook,
mm-hmm.
or if it's just something that people can munch on and absorb mm-hmm. alcohol or
right.
some type of carbs. So, but I think
okay.
the clarification provided helps a lot.
Anything from the planning board? Gentlemen?
The only comment I have is, I have no issue with no food if people are just going in, because my impression was you go in, they have tastings, and you purchase your stuff and leave. But it sounds like we're going to be putting tables in, and people can go in there and congregate and have food. And now is that fair to restaurant owners in Franklin that have to supply food full-time who have a liquor license? And with the parking schedule is going to change substantially, because you need minimal parking with just a brewery to go in, do your testings, a few people stand around, 15, 20 minutes, you're gone and you talk. But now the big food in from next door, people are sitting around and congregating, it becomes somewhat of a gathering and not a tasting place.
Right, that's correct.
So now that would affect the parking schedule, because now people stay longer and they sit around and they eat, and people are trying to get in the park because it's a tastings place. I'm a little confused on the whole process.
The two things that I think of. First of all, you don't want to hurt the area of restaurants, obviously. And most of these businesses in the state so far have tried to work deals with the restaurants right down the street, or they might have 10 takeout menus right on their bar.
Right.
Where they, you know,
yeah.
see people actually get a pizza delivered right to their table as they're sampling the beer. So that's one of the things that I hope that anybody coming into town is going to take advantage of and actually consider. You can't force them to do that, obviously, but that's something that is a pretty normal thing. And as far as the parking, when they come in and say they have 3,000 square feet and they have 750 feet of up in front where the tap room is, right? Everything else, in the stuff in the back is a manufacturing space, and the stuff that's up front is retail. So that's how you figure out how many parking spaces. So it's two different uses, really, in the same building. So you don't just go all warehouse.
No, I understand that, but that's 700 or 1,000 square feet now. Could be multiple tables. Where people could congregate now and stay, and then other people are pulling in just to purchase, and they can't because it's somewhat of, I'm not going to say a liquor store, a package store, but it's a tastings package store versus a sit-down.
Yeah, it's a retail tasting.
In other words, a group of us could meet there tonight and have a tasting, get a table, and order Chinese food and sit here for 2 hours and utilize more parking than a turnaround for parking. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. Someone coming and going, well, you only got 700 square feet. Well, you only need 8 parking spots.
And I think it's by special permit.
It is special.
I guess my
question. You're going to have a great, you know, honestly, I mean, planning board is going to be able to assess those depending on when those are. And I think, as I've said before, you know, in a lot of these areas, you see these pop up in larger industrial buildings, mm-hmm. right? This gentleman over here was proposing a smaller site up near, like, I believe it was Subway. So, you know, I think it depends on what proposal, where, and commensurate. There may be too much parking in one area.
I agree.
And then there might be other places where the planning board might have to say, you know, this is your allotment, this is what you got. The folks in Bridgewater, ironically, is a very small brewery. I think they only have a couple vats, and they only have about 20 chairs, kind of similar to La Cantina here in town. So you just can't even get that many people in there, let alone worry about the parking. So I think it's just commensurate depending on what, you know, what the site is. But I agree with you. You are right. It's different than a flight of beers, tasting two or three things, and buying your case of beer and go home. Absolutely. Just depends on what the proposal is.
I would think the parking requirement would have to be a lot like a restaurant. Right. If you think about it, I mean, what's the difference between going there, grabbing a pizza, and sitting there for 2 hours versus going to Itchy and sitting there and having 2 hours of them shooting flames in front of your face and eating hibachi, right?
Like, it's the same thing. It's almost like going grocery shopping. Same deal. You spend an hour and a half, 2 hours at a grocery store. Mm-hmm.
Versus a convenience store.
Really?
I know.
That you know.
True story. But anything else, Dan?
One last question, and I touched on this with Jamie in the past. What would be the hours of operations of something like this?
Good question. So they'd have to come and get a full, essentially what would be the equivalent of the same liquor license. It's a different section of Mass Law, but they have to get the same liquor license as what all the other restaurants in town would get. And so the council would basically be able to regulate those hours, just like they would any other business.
Because if you remember the question I had, is right now, which I didn't realize, there's a bylaw in Franklin now, that no restaurant in Franklin can serve alcohol without a full menu being served. Mm-hmm. So legally right now, you go to Joe's or the Three, mm-hmm. and you walk in at 11 o'clock, the kitchen's closed, you legally cannot be served. Mm-hmm. That's on the books right now. But would they be able to go into a tasting place at 11 o'clock, no food, so there'd be competitiveness against other style businesses? I just want to fear for everybody.
Makes sense.
I'm not familiar with a lot of these breweries that are open really, really late, like a lot of the restaurants that are here in town are open to, particularly the ones obviously that are near the interstates, which makes sense because that's part of the point. I'm not familiar with a lot of these places being open to 1 or 2. They're usually open to, I think, 10. Some are even open even earlier, 9.
We did some research. When we were doing the bylaws originally, we did research. And at the time, a lot of the smaller ones that are starting up, they might be only open for 4 days, and they were open 5 hours a day, you know, depending on who they were. Some of the bigger ones now, obviously, they're dealing with, you know, they want to stay open later. They want to, you know, they're in a very
active
area.
Well, a lot of it's going to be staffing area and other type of stuff, too. I mean, they're trying to be minimalists to the best of their ability.
Right, absolutely.
So staffing is going to be the restriction. It's basically going to be either the owner or a co-partner or somebody, like they do at La Cantina, manning these areas, manning these spaces.
Right.
So it's not like they're going to have 3 or 4 different employees on their roles at any given time. So they're going to have to limit themselves to their time frame anyway. Unless they're not going to have time to brew.
I was going to say, then they have to brew too.
You know?
And annually, the council approves all the liquor licenses, as you probably know, for every single business in town.
Right.
And they could, if upon request or from some other, you know, reduce those hours or increase. A lot of times people are going to say, oh, we want to stay open at midnight now. We're open at 11. So it's an annual decision from the council, too, or the business owner, if they want to reduce or expand those hours.
Speaking of hours, what were you thinking about down on West Central?
You guys
that's a good question.
Especially as a startup, we don't intend to open 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So we will probably have our production days be Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays, or Monday, Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll probably open our doors Wednesday through Sunday, starting at 5 p.m.
Yeah, it's 5. That's what I was thinking.
So that'll be on Wednesday, same thing on Thursday, Fridays, and then maybe on the weekend we could open at noon time. But like you said, we need to make the beer, mm-hmm. we have to mature.
Sleep.
And like you said, our manning is not that significant. So between me, my business partner, and the master brewer, you know, we have to work out a schedule.
Right.
So, but our production days will probably Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or Monday and Tuesday. Plus, I mean, maybe some people do, but who wants to go to, you know, a brewery on a Monday right after, you know, right after work?
So mm-hmm.
people want to recover.
To the Patriots Miami game.
Unless you really
drink it all week.
You need a brewery. You might want that brewery.
Maybe as we get better, because places like Trillium, they've had a lot of success. They all have right. They can come in. I don't know if they serve at noon or at 9 o'clock when they do open, but they can go in, they can buy a 4-pack or a 6-pack
right.
and then leave. But in our case, these are the hours we're looking at. 5 to 9 or 5 to 10, Wednesday through Friday. And then on the weekends, we'll probably open a little bit early. Or hope to open.
Tom? Through the chair to Brian, is this going to be limited to a certain zone?
It's, as of right now, it's pretty much all non-residential zones. It is allowed by special permit. Yeah.
Why, what are you thinking, Tony?
No, I just didn't, if we've got mixed use, that we're going for a mixed, mixed type of use as far as residential areas or close to residential areas with commercial, is that going to be allowed in those areas that are close to a residential area? If you got these small strip malls, something like that.
Yeah. Well, if it's zoned a business commercial type or an industrial type of zone, it would be. It right now it is allowed by special permit. Planning board special permit.
Mm-hmm.
Site plan, of course, is necessary, obviously, and you might have conditions that you can attach to it related to parking and other things, I'm sure. But,
isn't there a restriction on how many feet like licenses can be to a church or residential area anyway? There is a foot, there is an amount of feet you can't have it so close.
No, I'm talking about residential, I'm talking about like mixed use. We have some mixed use buildings.
You mean like downtown?
We have some residential friendly, we were talking about some residential friendly commercial, and I was just thinking about that. I mean, you're going to be able to have your apartment upstairs and go downstairs to a wine tasting.
Yeah. Well, right now you can go down to a restaurant, right? And if they have a restaurant and they have alcohol, you can do the same thing.
Right.
Okay.
It's the same,
same idea.
So you can brew in the same building.
I don't think there's any restrictions on it in our bylaw right now.
No,
below Brad Chafee's building.
Can you set up these breweries inside a building like that,
mm-hmm.
underneath residential?
I don't see why not.
Believe it or not,
Cafe Dolce's is? It used to be where the muffin store is.
Yeah, can you be brewing beer underneath that?
They cook muffins, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
muffins is a lot different than.
But that's the trend today. The amenities. People want to live amongst stuff like that.
They do.
It's the new world.
Definitely right about that.
It's the new world.
I think you'd find some size restrictions with with what you're trying to put in something like that. It's easy to put in a stove and a kitchen a little bit, and be able to bake muffins. It's a different thing putting in a 1,000-gallon tank.
Well,
where you need a loading dock and you need a door in the back and you need a height.
Mm-hmm.
So I think,
so
in theory, that may work, but I don't know if you'd be able to really just plop one in any of those.
No, probably not. Craft Roots was approximately, 20, 25 feet?
Yeah.
Probably.
But you're forgetting it also comes under a special permit if the planning board felt as though
that's
it wasn't
right.
appropriate
oh, that's right.
for that particular
yeah.
spot at that time, it's not going to happen.
It's in your hands.
That's right.
It's in your hands.
And that was part of the logic when Brian
but,
did research up front. You
Mr.
know,
Chairman,
towns that were new to this, you know, did it. Like
I would like to take back the discussion, though, on the current square footage allowable, though. I mean, I think the council originally was looking for 35% of the space, and it's down to 20%. of the space?
25.
Isn't it?
I think the bylaw right now reads 25.
25. Yeah. Okay. Do you think that's still a reasonable amount of space, is my discussion point?
My personal opinion is that you got to get somebody in to start seeing what we're doing right and wrong, and then we can start adjusting this. I
mean, well, does anybody know if La Cantina Winery, the space that they have, is the maximum allowable space that they could use for the
That's awfully small.
Because it seems really small. I mean, mm-hmm. if that's the current square footage, that's just not big enough.
It's a small building.
It's a ridiculously small building. Yeah. So what I'm wondering is that
I don't think there is a limit on square footage.
If they maximized
on where a customer can stand.
Maximum size of the tap room.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if they have, like we said before, say you have 3,000 square feet.
Right.
If you can't have more than 750 square feet in your tap room that the public accesses for retail and serving.
Okay.
So the other part is considered warehousing and manufacturing, essentially, in the back.
So it's 25 right now?
25% is what's in our bylaw. Yeah.
We had originally looked at a third.
35?
We had originally looked at a third, and then I think when we did the market of the communities that we looked at, I think this was pretty similar to a lot of other towns.
Yeah, the planning board, I think it was Tony mentioned that our other requirements that match them up with the same numbers.
So. Wasn't that put in place so that you don't have 100 people hanging around?
Oh, no, absolutely.
I get your point, but I also... Area but
you
want
to make these things small. I mean, we start getting
we do,
there,
but
and then you're going to have to start talking about how many seats equal how much equal food.
Right, I mean...
I get that.
You're going to make them so that you can get enough people in to make a living and be successful.
This, to swing it back to you guys, this would end up coming back to the planning board anyway.
Up to them,
correct?
Right?
Yeah.
I assume that if I brought you a 100,000 square foot spot to open, right, you're going to want some food in there.
My only question is, all our manufacturing facilities right now in town, whether it's a brewery or what it is, all right, we just generalize 25% of it can be used for retail sales.
Okay.
All right, so that's across the board. So to separate this, if they're going to be warehousing and manufacturing, don't keep mixing it up. Don't keep changing all these little micro changing all these bylaws. I mean, if it's manufacturing, they're manufacturing beer or whatever, then 25% is used for retail sales. So
my only concern is that it would be too small. As much as your concern is it'd be too big.
Like he said, it's not a restaurant.
Right.
It's a place to buy, purchase, taste.
Right. But it's still ultimately a meeting place. And you want to be comfortable.
It's going to become a meeting place. That's what
right.
I think you got to start with something and work our way to it, right? Like, I think that's the way to go. Every zone starts with, you know, and I don't want to start talking about zones that we have, but every zone started with an idea of somebody coming forward saying, this is what I'd like to do, and a council or a planning board or together we looked at each other and said, this makes sense, let's try it. If it doesn't work, we adjust it, modify it. There's not a zone we have in the town that when it originally was done
hasn't been adjusted.
So we got to start with something.
Did anybody look at these? What the square footages are?
I think we did that originally, and there was no more than a third.
It
was no more than a third.
There was some tap rooms, no bigger than this
and I think
room.
I think he's right.
With a big warehouse. Right.
But if your number is 25% for everything else, then you leave it. Like it's an easier number for if everybody remember, and then move from there. Mm-hmm. We might find out that everything needs to be 30% down the road. We might find out everybody needs to be 15% down the road. We don't know. Okay. I think it's just. I'm more than willing to bring it back in a year and look at it and say, let's adjust it and play with it and see what makes it better for us and how do we do it a step better than everybody else. So,
is this applicant happy with the figures that we're working with now? Or does those square footages work within your...
So my comment during the tech review was we were planning on using... So when you have a microbrewery, depending on the size of the system that you bring in, you have to have a minimum square footage for your system. So we plan on bringing a 10-barrel system. You need at least 750. To account for storage and everything else, you're probably gonna use 1,000 to 1,200 because you gotta store your ingredients, mm-hmm. gotta run the lines, et cetera, et cetera. And when it comes to the tasting room, it is a gathering place because that's what's different about microbreweries. It's a place where you can have a good pint of beer. It's also a place you can bring your wife or your spouse or your future wife-to-be or future spouse-to-be You can bring your dog, you can bring your kids, you can roll them in their stroller and just sit there and have a good time and have a pint of beer. I understand why, well, we're trying to understand why the 25% number came in. And I understand you don't want to have a lot of people just sitting there just chugging it back and getting wasted. But microbreweries is cut above that. It's not, I don't want to say that it doesn't happen, but you don't see people going to microbreweries to get wasted. People usually want to go to microbreweries because they can play some card game, they can sit and chat with people, they can play shuffle, they can have their kids sitting in the corner, you know, playing checkers while they're just having a good time with them.
I think you should slow down. You're giving too much information.
Yeah.
You're killing yourself.
You're starting to kill yourself.
I appreciate you being honest, but less said is better sometimes.
But as far as the square footage, the reason why the square footage, to go back to your question about the square footage, you also don't want it to be too cramped. Because if you're running a business, and if somebody, and I can tell you of one microbrewery that I've been to, I literally walked in and walked right out because the tasting room was probably half of this room, if you run it this way. Okay, so you want people to come in, feel comfortable, stay a while, grab a pint or two, and then leave. So 674 square feet, I think that's what we're averaging for our current space that we're looking at. We're not sure if it will be comfortable for people, because that's what we want to bring to Franklin. We want to have a comfortable space when people come in. Right. We don't want a space where people come in.
But this is where I'm telling you to slow down, because now you're starting to make it sound like this is going to be a big social event and not just a brewery.
Go ahead, Tony.
It's not necessarily a social event. I think it's just like if you went to a restaurant. You know, you want to be comfortable. And you know, if we're so having a tap room or a tasting room, just like any other, because we want to compete with everything else that's out there, right? We want to compete with craft roots.
Yeah, Tony.
So just remind folks, the issue on the table is the food requirement. I'm not saying you can't discuss these others, but the topic is really,
on
the agenda is specifically
it's just
food
the food
requirement.
This kind of goes with it. Quick question, and I might be stupid or missed it, but is there any limit as to the amount of tasting you can do or consume to taste when you went to these places?
Under the alcohol bylaw, aren't they?
Can you go in and just drink all night if you want to, or is this a taste?
Close at 8.
First of all, I think what he's trying to get across is if you go to these places, that's not the clientele that goes there. They don't go there to hang out for 5 hours. It's not the old water bowl. Okay, people go in, they pay $20 for two beers. I get that sounds expensive. I'm not saying
But I think that's a good point to make.
But I think what, you know, under the town, you know, we have the TIPS certification that's mandatory.
Right.
You know, I think that that's just not the culture of what you're getting into.
Right. That's not what he's explaining.
What?
That's not what he's
explaining. Leaving,
well, again,
he's
this
leaving
is,
out the
right.
the stuff that is probably more something that we should have heard, but as a business owner, he's promoting his product, right? And versus the real kind of nitty gritty that it's not a Budweiser. You're not getting, you know, $2 beers here. You're getting a $10, $8 beer. I mean, this is
right.
It's expensive. So you're not gonna have, you know, 6 21-year-old kids in there drinking. They're not gonna be able to afford it. Dean College kids aren't gonna be able to afford this. This is gonna be, you know, the
And majority of Dean College kids should not be coming there because
right, because they're 21.
Because and the ones that are can't afford it. So.
But to Tony's point, asking the Alcohol Beverage Commission doesn't regulate how many ounces you can serve a person in one drink.
No.
So, if they consider one serving can be 1 ounce, or it can be
20.
1 32 ounce, one drink. At a time per customer.
And that's the same as any other restaurant.
I get
right?
it. Every other restaurant.
And I'm just pointing out.
It could be a 1 gallon drink,
but I think.
And it's
think
only one drink.
If I could just go ahead.
Now you just said restaurant,
right.
not a brewery, not a.
No, I'm making. I'm saying
well,
that no matter which way you want to do it, that you don't say the three.
Right.
The state doesn't say you can only have somebody
three
could 16
serve
ounces
one gallon
of alcohol.
Beer.
One drink.
Right.
I only have one drink.
But that's where the liability comes in on the bartender. It comes on the business.
Officer.
It is. That's why we require liquor liability insurance of every single
officer.
Business.
I had one drink, but you didn't say it was
that's
a 1 gallon jug,
certification.
Which is legal to serve.
I get it.
It's a legal thing.
All right, so let's go get back to the conversation
right.
at hand. Food. Does anybody want to make a motion?
Like motion.
Go for it.
I guess check my wording on this, but I'd like to make a motion to exempt farmers' breweries mm-hmm. from the kitchen requirement.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Anybody? Speak now for all degrees, Brian.
Good question. Would there be, it would be distilleries, wineries.
It would be brewery, okay. Winery, distillery.
Move it on those yep. distilleries. Yeah.
So, and this is to be moved to the town council.
Yes. So I'd like to make a motion to amend that to breweries. What was that?
Breweries, wineries.
Breweries, wineries, distilleries.
Distilleries or any microbrewery.
Or any microbrewery.
To be moved to the town.
To be moved to the town council.
There you go. All right. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Clark Cutler.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I guess the question really is, we put this back on the agenda. Folks have been discussing it for a while. Brian did a great job putting together this packet. Really, at the end of the day, Brian, we wanted to get more direction from the committee,
Chris,
from the EDC.
That folder right there has the packets in it. So
we wanted to get more direction. We had this conversation a couple months ago and wanted to get a little bit more direction from the EDC about where you wanted to head with this.
Thank
next.
You.
From a staff level, and there's really no big changes in here in the use table, you know, in terms of what we're looking for a mixed innovation district down there. But we wanted to really get the feedback from the EDC. Brian has actually reached out to a variety of the landowners. Maybe Brian, you can give a quick update on your discussions with them. But folks originally wanted to do a couple of outreach events. So as a group, we wanted to kind of figure out where you wanted to go next. I know in doing his use table and doing the zoning, Brian did reach out to the property owners. And I know they had the discussion at the Downtown Partnership, maybe one of their board meetings. Maybe you could give us a quick update, Brian.
Yeah, maybe, to give you an idea. So the in your packet, up near the front, you see a map. That is the area where Clark Cutler is, and there's seven parcels with four total owners there. You have Clark Cutler McDermott is out of business. The trustee is managing their property. You have the Mosley Mill property. They actually have two properties, one just next to it. We have a parcel 27805000 is 90 Hayward, and that is where Patty Eisenhower Dance Studio is now, and they have another business in the back. And then on the southern end are two industrial properties that are on Fisher Street right before the tracks, and they're really in need of a major amount of work.
Yeah, they're in rough shape.
Yes, they are. So
that's 25 and 24?
Yeah. 15 and 116.
115 and 116 at the southern end. Yeah.
They are okay. A mess.
Yeah. So I've talked to three of the four property representatives of the property owners. Two are wildly in favor of it, the Mosley Mills and the Clark Cutler properties. They really think this is the answer to their prayers in many ways. We talked to the owner over the phone recently on the two southern ends there down on Fisher Street. I emailed them the information, draft documents, and they go, we're going to talk in the very near future. And on the other one, I've been trying to contact somebody multiple times, and I'm striking out. I don't know if they. I'll keep working at it.
126?
That would be the northern one, 278025.
Oh.
That's 90.
Is that the old working place?
Yeah. Anyway, so just to give you an idea. So I have talked to a lot of people about the concept, we have actually. I'm actually going to be talking with the Downtown Partnership again tomorrow. We meet with the trustee on the other property again. So we're going to continue talking, but everybody so far is very open to the idea and likes the idea. So I think that will continue. One thing I'd like to do is point out on this page here that's a few pages in, it's actually the proposed Mixed Business Innovation Zone summary of the zoning amendments.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proposing six separate zoning amendments. The first four would create a mixed business innovation zone.
Mm-hmm.
The last two would be to actually get it on the map. Okay, if you have to create a zone first and then you put it on a map as a next step. So one thing that's interesting is the first one, the districts enumerate creation of the mixed business innovation zoning district. We put information into 185-4, that section of the zoning bylaw, in two places. First you name it and then you define what it is. So that paragraph, the specific intent wording, mm-hmm. is there. Now that is what a lot of people it's an interesting zone. It's nothing like what we have in town. Yep. And I probably brought in input from 20 different directions to get to this point here. Mm-hmm. Basically it allows almost everything to a point except for residential and heavy manufacturing
and large retail.
Right. It allows retail, it allows restaurants, but only if it's part of a mixed commercial right. development. Okay. It's the intent is to redevelop the older manufacturing area, and do right now they can continue doing their manufacturing. They're doing a medium to light manufacturing. They can continue do that. I think it's 25,000 square feet of operation they're doing now. A couple of buildings in the back, and a lot of the area could be used for distribution. They can continue using that. But the hope is to increase the amount of businesses in the area. We were right near the downtown. We will hopefully very soon have a cultural district in the downtown. We have a meeting coming up in the near future to find out one way or the other. And we've included most of these parcels, the Clark Cutler, Mosley Mills, and the one to the north where Patty Eisenhower is. All of those would be in this new cultural district. So we're hoping that we can actually get the properties interested in maker spaces and studio space and maybe business incubators. One thing that's coming up now that's very popular, I have a brother and he's out in on the South Shore right now, and he's looking for, because he got laid off after many, many years, and he's looking to start a business, but he doesn't want to work out of his house because he was crazy with kids. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for co-working space, they call mm-hmm. it. So that's actually getting to be something that a lot of people are actually doing all over the country. And I think we really have a gap in this region right now for something like that. So there might be some people going after opportunities like that. But again, you could have...
Is it like rent a cubicle type of idea? Just basically rent space within a space?
Just really quickly, you can actually have a standalone office. You mm-hmm. could have a desk that you share with other, or you have a variety of other things, your cube or whatever the case may be. I don't have cubes anymore that much. but you're renting, essentially, you're paying a membership into something. And whether it costs you $50 a month for 5 hours of quiet, whatever the mm-hmm. question may be, it's getting to be something that's popular. So anyway, I'm just saying that as an example of what could happen someplace like that. And of course, if they have a mix of the different businesses, you have art-related things, you might get a nonprofit or two in there, you might get a cafe, you might have a venue for performance, it's really an unlimited amount of things you can have there. A lot of the uses are by right, but quite a few are also allowed by special permit, and those are the ones that would impact, so you have to be careful where you put these things and everything. But of course, you really have to allow the property owners and the managers to decide who goes where anyway. But mm-hmm. At the same time, we could do all of this, and then somebody could come in and say, every building's all one use, and you don't have to worry about it, okay? As long as it's not heavy manufacturing,
right?
Or residential for that matter, they can do pretty much what they want. So that's really what we're at. As far as dimensional regulations, they're almost identical to what's currently there. Currently it's an industrial zone where you can get a maximum building up to 60 feet. I'm proposing 50 feet, which is the same as a C1, C2, mm-hmm. downtown commercial and all of those. The uses, like I said, there are a couple of issues. One that we've touched on, and that is standalone restaurants or retail. The hope is that you're not going to have somebody come in and put in your, you know, rip the whole thing down and put in your standard, continue, in other words, the commercial strip that we have out in the western part of 140 and continue to the downtown. At least that's not what I would like to see. Maybe others would like to see that, but I think the reuse of what's there, ripping down certain things and rebuilding and doing things is fine, but the reuse is what, you know, a standalone restaurant like a Burger King there is not something that I don't think the downtown really needs right now. And the only other thing is was on hazardous material use and things. The fire chief wanted me to make sure we got something in there.
So just to piggyback on what Brian mentioned, I mean, really the decision is, I mean, the group has talked about this. It's not changed really at all since the last couple months, since the group is, it's really, the folks want to move forward with this as is. Do you want to alter it any? Do you want to kick it down the road? Do you want to have the meeting with the neighbors? I mean, you know, we're kind of just looking for some direction. I think Brian did a lot of the outreach that, you know, folks have wanted from the landowners. And what they were interested in, and you got pretty positive feedback. So it's really a question of how the group wants to move forward or not move forward. You know, because we'll be certainly busier in the winter and spring with some other stuff. So we thought we'd bring it back and just get some general guidance now that you know, Matt's here.
I think having a meeting with the landowner, the residents around it is an awful idea. We learned that on past sites. Let's find out who wants to go there and then have a conversation with the residents to see if they like it, because you get five residents that want A, five residents want B, right, and C and D and E, and then you're gonna make somebody mad. So let's propose something in there before we do it. Brian, my question is that, you know, a lot of mixed use, I travel all around and I look at it, I'm seeing a lot of mixed use, and a lot of the mixed use that I'm seeing now, what you're talking about, I love artistry's, like the artistry spaces and the shared spaces. For a developer, there's no real money in it. So you're really looking for somebody who's got a lot of money who just wants to kind of invest their money into the town. What they're mostly getting to be able to overcome that money portion is they're putting residential on the second or third floor. Yeah. So is it something where we already have the condos on the front end of that property to entice a developer to do something? Because I love what you're talking about, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. But is it something that we should add residential by special permit on that, for the fact that somebody could do, I keep going back to like Mashpee Commons, right? Residentials, and then it's got the offices and residents above. Right. I mean, commercial with residents above. Right. That I would think would look beautiful down there. It would go with our New England Village feel. I think the neighborhood would like it, because then they'd have something to walk to. You know, instead of the old school of walking to your local convenience store, you're actually walking to a destination. Go in, get a Cold Stone ice cream, get an ice cream from Mrs. Smith who opened her own place, whatever it might be. And then you have some affordable housing at the top. It might be single lofts. It might be whatever we could, you know. I know Oxbridge did this in their downtown with a couple of old buildings and it looks beautiful. I'm just trying to think how we can incorporate this into our downtown and expand our downtown into this area. While, like you said, keep the Burger Kings up on the West Central Street. Right.
My thought is, you know, I don't get a vote on any of this, I want to make sure.
You're influencing.
I want to make sure that I say that once in a while, because, you know, what I'm doing is conceptual work. So everybody can, you know, make decisions. And if we had a right now older multi-story buildings down there that were set up where you can have upper story loft apartments and things like that, then I'd be thinking that. At the same time, I've talked to the fire chief about the reuse of buildings in that area. And he's, please don't go with residential. It could be nightmarish.
But he was also suggesting no residential with what's there.
Yeah,
if you're ripping down and new development, you're right.
I think if you talk to the guys who are
in the room that deal with real estate, I think you'll find, I would, personally, any of my developers would knock that site down and start fresh. Yeah. I mean, Joe, go ahead.
Well, then that just turns it into a district we already have, the downtown district. Mm-hmm. It's not a new innovated zone. It's what we have presently. Retail on the first floor, residential above, that's already downtown. You're just extending the zone over. Mm-hmm. But I think Brian's idea is to utilize
repurposing
the existing buildings to bring some of that old character back to Franklin. Right. So, let me ask you this. Is there any vacancy in Mosley Mills? I don't think so.
No.
So you really don't need the residential component in that particular zone to make that work.
And then obviously, do you think those buildings are getting reused?
I do.
I think the buildings, if we would have put residential above, that would be a completely wiped out area and it'd be all new construction. Nobody would utilize
that. The current buildings, what do you think?
Yeah.
As somebody who develops in Franklin, why do you think that would...
It would not be residential.
No. I'm saying if the current buildings that are there, if you kept them, do you...
I'd like to see it done something to the Mosley Mills, that style. You walk in, the old beams, all sandblad, and all the... They got the hairdressing shops and the workout facility. It's kind of that look that...
Yeah, it's a repurposing of what we have. This is ultimately...
Because I proposed verbally many times, why don't we just make it from Liquor World all the way to town, C2 commercial. Mr. Jones was one of the ones that adamantly said, we don't want that type of commercial. No,
because he's in butter.
Right. No, I understand that, but now you're basically turning that into a commercial. It's not going to give that look that we're looking for.
Yeah. But as it stands now, it's already existing. So what, you're adding a few cars to visit the lot and different than it already been?
No, I'm okay with that, but not to turn it into a whole new
lot
and ripping it down. And
guys realize that if anybody that's been up for sale and with a bankruptcy for 6-8 months, if somebody was going to buy this and do this,
you're wrong, but not with that zoning we're applying. Right. You're going with an industrial zone, and that's not an industrial area where anybody's going to want to go in today's day.
The buildings are too small for industrial these days.
Just wanted to let you know that there have been several different developers that come forward between the creditors, and they haven't been able to reach a deal. There's an offer now on the table again, and these people are more local than others, and they are looking at utilization of some of the facilities as maybe warehousing and things of that way. But the older building, if you will, on Fisher, the oldest of the building, being a mix of commercial and maybe even artist space, whatever it is, but obviously they're starting from scratch and they'd have to work into this. It's a real possibility, but it really depends on whether a sale goes through.
So if that's the case and people are coming forward, why do we want to touch it now until we have something that comes forward, makes an offer, and wants to sit down with us?
Because they like the concept that we're working on. And it's one of the reasons... I proposed to the original trustees something like this in April. And then they end up getting an offer. And I said, all right, we'll back up. And then they got several things that fell apart. And now they're saying, well, can you come back with this?
Right. And the heavy part of it. And the manufacturing, I think the trucks and some of that stuff was also part of it, was, you know, we're trying to get rid of some of the louder options if somebody bought it and just stuck a big plant in the middle of it.
But you can still have that happen currently.
Not into this.
Not
heavy industrial.
You can have warehousing, you can have trucks. Industry manufacturer.
Right. With what's currently occupied there.
With available space available.
So, what?
With the space that's available.
With the current businesses that are there.
If somebody wanted to come in for some fabricating type of industrial type, they can rent 100,000 square feet of it. Mm-hmm. It's there. They'd have to do the work inside to get them, to fit it up, but there it is there, the possibility.
Go ahead, Tony.
Are we doing this to just control what's going to go in there?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Is that why we're getting involved?
That's what it sounds like to me.
I think it's something to try to utilize something that's a dead area.
We're trying to revitalize it, make it more appealing.
Yeah.
We got 250 apartments in a great project in the NAV. We got a lot of other investment resident. I'm not saying no to. That's your guys' decision about that.
Why don't we just leave it alone until we get?
Because you can't have anything else other than manufacturing there. You're just going to get more you're just going to get more of the same.
Who's going to go there for a minute? Well, it's an old wooden building that no one's going to want to manufacture out of that place. That's a 100-year business that
failed,
and those days are gone.
They might not want to manufacture, but why should we draw up an RFP to decide what's going to go in there? Why don't we just leave it alone?
Well, it can still be manufacturing.
Find out who's going to be in there.
No.
Why are we trying to micromanage?
You can still do light manufacturing under this.
Light, not the current manufacturing.
We're trying to expand the vision.
Well, you can't put a GM plant in it, but you can still do it.
We could do that.
We're trying to expand the options for somebody when there's a buyer and an investor.
Right, but we're not the developers. So why don't we just sit back and wait for a developer?
Why would we do that when they come and file, and then they come and file to put a heavy manufacturing plant in there? And then we say, geez, we had an opportunity, and it really passed us by, and then for the next 7 years, you get another.
So you are trying to control what's going on there.
The only thing you don't, the only thing that you're eliminating from being there is the heavy manufacturing.
You won't want to go there, but now you're saying that you don't want manufacturing.
That's not what I said. It's heavy manufacturing.
Okay.
Tony, we are trying to repurpose the area for the fact that we're trying to meet more of a cultural aspect of the downtown.
Right. I would like to see a Haywood Place, like Lex down there right now, Mosey Mills.
Right. Yes.
To go in there. That would be very nice.
Yes. Correct.
Why are we trying to micromanage? Do we have an investor to do that?
According to Brian, more of the interest lies in this area than it is.
You know, so I'm kind of on Tony's side with this.
That's fine.
So this is where this is what I'm
just playing devil's advocate. I'm just trying to find out why it was so.
But that's okay. The group wants to postpone this and not move it forward to the council for a referral to the planning board. That's fine.
No, I don't think we're there yet. I think we're having a conversation on this and trying to figure out where we're at.
Yeah, I'm just asking questions. That's all.
So I'm kind of on Tony's side because I feel like somebody wants to buy it, they're going to turn around and go and come to Brian and say, I'm interested in doing ABC. Here's my sketch, right? And then if I'm Brian, I'm going to be like, hey, listen, the EDC is all for something. Bring it forward. Let us see it. So I guess we're putting these in to try to attract them to come but it sounds like we have a lot of offers. So why are we waiting? Go ahead, Eamon.
Naturally, I'm not a property developer myself. So the equation, looking at this, is probably a little bit different for us than for you. It seems like a sort of a situation with this property. It's, you know, an early 20th century single-story mill. A lot of the other mills in New England are brick, they're multiple stories, or they're wood and they're multiple stories. A little bit of unique property in that sense because it was for textile production of a very kind of unique sort at the very beginning. So for that reason, I imagine for a lot of developers in its current form, exclusively industrial, it raises, you know, the classic FUD, you know, fear, uncertainty, doubt. You know, is anyone going to actually ship or do anything out of this property currently, except for the back unit, which is more optimized for trucking? Mm-hmm. I think my tendency is to think that the proposed MBI zoning, you know, may sort of sweeten the deal for potential investors, where they're like, well, you know, there's actually a lot we can do with this. It's five different, you know, individual parcels. Maybe it's not the residential, but the back, you know, say for instance, the back building on Hayward Street, you could still sublet that or rent it out or sell it to a trucking company or somebody doing, you know, warehousing, light manufacturing, even back parts of the main building, and the areas that front closer to, you know, 140 West Central, you know, you could potentially redevelop those for more, you know, office spaces, co-working spaces, out-of-intentional spaces, the whole litany, you know, which may be increasing demand as more and more people shift toward remote work. One of the things that Brian was noting about his brother, as well as, you know, as we see actually sort of a growth in population in downtown with the former Thompson Press building, you know, adding hundreds of new residents to that area and other projects like that. So we may see increased foot traffic, increased demand that maybe the current businesses in downtown can't meet exclusively. You know, if someone chose to redevelop that spot, it may very well meet those kind of growing demands.
One thing I would like to do as a resident of Franklin also, as far as the control factor, yes, I would like to control that area for the simple reason that was built 100 years ago when we didn't have the Forge Parks and the industrial parks. That was the park.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's day and age, nobody's going to really want to go there, but as of right, an Amazon, a FedEx, a UPS could go in there tomorrow and utilize that place.
Correct.
With tractor trailers running out of there 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yes, they
can. Let me tell you, the neighbors wouldn't enjoy that.
No.
I think this is a softer approach for the zoning that utilize walking distance from the town, more, you can utilize the property a lot better than having a, just a tractor-trailer facility down there.
No, I agree. I think it's a good, I like the thought. I mean, I still don't think back that somebody's going to, I would love to keep the buildings. They're not three stories. I think somebody's going to knock them down. It's just not, the number that's currently on that building doesn't, the number that they want for that site doesn't allow for those buildings to stay.
And warehousing, you can only get so much per square foot.
I know. So and you can do the numbers. The numbers aren't there. That site's being demoed. I could be wrong, but not with the number.
Could I just touch on what I know you guys got a meeting to go to in the near future here. I wanted to just read something on one thing that's allowed there today is so-called heavy manufacturing.
Yeah.
All right. The manufacture or compounding process of raw materials. These activities would necessitate the storage of large volumes of flammable, hazardous, toxic, corrosive, and explosive materials. These activities may include outdoor operations as part of their process. This use produces moderate to significant external effects and may pose significant risks due to the nature and use and materials stored and utilized on site. We allow that right now.
And I think we're all saying that we agree that we don't want that.
Right. So if you, what the proposal for you is to not allowing that.
Yeah.
Okay. And on medium and light manufacturing, our fire chief has asked me to put some wording in on hazardous material and usage, the things that are not allowed. So therefore, you're in a residential zone all the way around it. There's residents everywhere around this industrial area. So you don't want them using things that they can currently use now if it's going to potentially hurt somebody. Because a new manufacturer going in there reusing these things can really make a mess. So we changed that concept, all right? We're getting rid of the manufacturing that could be a problem for these areas that are residential and near the downtown. And then you're allowing uses that will make that property much more attractive to a developer. Because right now they can't do half the things we're proposing that could be put in there. Okay? So maybe just by changing that, you're going to end up with more people interested in the property sells quicker or whatever the case may be. Maybe the two properties on Fisher Street before the tracks, they say, wow, we can do X, Y, and Z with that property. That's great. We can't do it now. I'm going to, you know, I get somebody in mind. I'll sell the property. Before you know, we have a new facility coming up. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stimulate activity that's not happening in an area that really needs some work. So anyway, that's essentially what we're trying to do. Whether or not residential goes in there someday, that's totally a policy call, and I don't know what to tell you on that one.
He was for us, but you've answered my question. So, very good. Change it to Brian's idea first. Get rid of the heavy manufacturing, get rid of the chemicals. That answers my question. That's what I was after. Why are we trying to change it?
Okay.
So that's a start, okay? Yeah. We get rid of that, get it off the board, and now we can wait for an investor.
Right.
To say, okay, here's my idea, and then you can change the zoning to whatever he needs or she needs.
If there was a residential component to it, if that's what the person.
Well,
I wouldn't
want to see four or five story buildings in there. But that's just me.
I mean, I think we know what the preference is. I think if somebody comes in and says, I bought it for X amount of dollars, and this is what they had visioned, it's not what we had visioned. Can address that at the time.
So you are trying to control what's going on. So let's.
We're trying to limit limit it and then allow additional.
Absolutely.
So Glenn, go ahead, but you got to finish it up with a continuation for the next meeting.
So I agree.
That's not what I was going to propose.
No, did you get a? Okay, go ahead.
I was going to propose we move this to full council for further discussion.
Okay, discussion.
So that we can bring this forward, potentially get them to refer to the planning board.
Discussion? One more time, sorry. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No? Okay. Well, there we go. 3-1. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All favor?
Aye.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? In particular, if you have an interest in real estate, zoning, or construction, I would like someone to help by following the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, and/or Conservation Commission meetings. I'll provide the guidance on note-taking and sharing. You'll need to bring an inquisitive and open mind and willingness to learn and share. Overall, if you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. It's through this feedback loop that we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.